Welcome to the Black Mambas of soccer or football, your definitive weekly briefing on the beautiful game. I'm your host, and every week we take you past the headlines, analyzing the tactical masterclasses and shocking upsets from Europe's top leagues, Major League Soccer, and elite competitions like the Champions League. We break down the performances that matter, from Kylian Mbappe's brilliance to Erling Haaland's hunger and Harry Kane's consistent excellence. Today's focus is on the biggest stage of all, the global race for World Cup 2026, a definitive rundown of the October qualifiers. But first, a message for the future of football. Whether you are a player striving for the next level, a dedicated parent supporting an athlete, or a coach building the next generation of stars, success begins with consistent, accountable training. That's why we're introducing showupandplaysports.com. This powerful new platform is an essential tool designed to help players, parents, and coaches meticulously track training sessions, monitor development metrics, and maximize performance potential. It simplifies communication and provides the data needed to make informed decisions, transforming potential into on-field results. Start building your champions today. Visit showupandplaysports.com. Show up and play. Now, let's get into the action. From South America to Europe, we're diving deep into the results that are shaping the global race for World Cup 2026. This episode of the Black Mambas of Soccer or Football starts now.
Welcome back to The Deep Dive. Today, we are tackling something pretty critical. We're diving into what was maybe the most decisive international window of the entire 2026 World Cup qualifying cycle.
Yeah, that period between October 6th and 15th, 2025. We're calling it Separation Day for a reason.
Right, Separation Day. Because this was it, wasn't it? The deadline, essentially, for Africa and Asia.
Absolutely. The end of the road for the main qualification rounds there. All the campaigning, the travel, the tension. It all boiled down to this window for those automatic spots in the expanded 48-team tournament.
And the big picture, the main headline coming out of it is clear. We now know 28 nations who are officially going to the 2026 World Cup.
28 locked in. That includes the hosts, of course, Canada, Mexico, the U.S. They were always in.
Always in. And we should probably mention the confederations that wrap things up a bit earlier.
Good point. South America, CONMEBOL, and Oceania, the OFC, they finished their main qualifying already.
So their teams are set.
Yep. For CONMEBOL, it's the top six. Argentina, Brazil, Colombia, Ecuador, Paraguay, and Uruguay. No huge surprises there. Maybe Paraguay getting in automatically is a nice story.
Then Oceania.
New Zealand. They took the single automatic spot from the OFC. But like you said, the real heart-stopping moments, the drama, it was all happening in Africa and Asia as they finalized their groups.
Okay, let's start with Africa then. CAF, it sounds like it was just pure chaos over those final match days.
Oh, it was a whirlwind.
Uh-huh.
And you really saw the impact of the World Cup expanding, you know, going from 32 teams to 48.
That jump from 5 automatic spots for Africa to 9, that's huge.
It's massive. And honestly, the best evidence, the most compelling story of what that expansion means has to be Cape Verde. The Blue Sharks.
Ah, yes. Tell us about them.
An island nation, Atlantic Islands, population just over 500,000. And they topped Group D. They are going to the World Cup for the first time ever.
That's incredible. How did they seal it?
A solid 3-0 win against Eswatini on the final day. Just think about that. For a nation that size, qualifying for the World Cup.
It's transformative, isn't it? We saw the celebrations in Praia. It's more than just football.
It really is. The new format helped win your group. You're in. Simple as that. But the money, we're talking tens of millions in FIFA prize money heading their way.
Wow.
For a country like Cape Verde, that kind of money can genuinely change things. Infrastructure, youth development. It could build a real footballing future, not just a one-off.
What an amazing story. Okay, but Africa also had some, shall we say, more brutal moments? Group C sounds like it went right down to the wire.
Brutal's the right word. Pure, unadulterated, final day chaos. Mm-hmm. Benin went into their last match leading the group. Destiny in their own hands.
They just needed a result against Nigeria, right?
Just a positive result.
Yay.
They were so close.
Yeah.
So close to making history themselves.
Nigeria.
But Nigeria, who'd had a bit of an up and down campaign, just decided to turn up. Big time. Victor Osimhen, their star striker.
He had a day, didn't he?
A hat trick. He was unplayable. Nigeria just dismantled Benin, beat them 4-0, snatched that dream away completely.
Ouch. So who benefited from Benin's collapse?
South Africa. Bafana, Bafana. They started the day in third place.
Right. They needed things to fall their way.
And they did their part. A commanding 3-0 win over Rwanda. That win, plus Benin getting hammered, meant South Africa jumped over both of them right at the end.
Incredible. So South Africa are back at the World Cup for the first time since they hosted in 2010.
Exactly. You couldn't script it better. Just wild swings on that final day.
Before we leave Africa, one more team to mention: Tunisia, the Carthage Eagles in Group H. Their qualification sounded different.
Very different. Almost the opposite. Clinical is probably the best word. Yeah. They topped their group based on just rock solid defense.
How solid?
Get this. They didn't concede a single goal. Not one. Across all 10 qualifying matches.
10 games without conceding. That's remarkable consistency.
It really is. Just a masterclass in defensive organization. So Africa's 9 automatic qualifiers are set.
But there's still a chance for some others. The runners-up.
That's right. The 4 best runners-up get another shot. That's DR, Congo, Gabon, Cameroon, and Nigeria actually salvaged this spot despite missing out automatically.
So Nigeria still has a path?
They do. They'll play Gabon in one semifinal, and Cameroon plays DR Congo in the other. These are single-leg knockout games in November.
And the winner of that mini-tournament?
The winner doesn't go straight to the World Cup, importantly. They win the right to be Africa's representative in the final Inter-Confederation playoff next March. Still one more hurdle.
Okay, let's switch continents. Asia, the AFC. It sounds like the pressure was just as high there, maybe even more concentrated. They had this unique playoff tournament in October.
Yeah, centralized fourth-round playoff. Basically, they brought the top teams together to sort out the final automatic spots quickly. High stakes, high pressure.
Who came out on top?
Well, Qatar managed it.
Yeah.
Beat Croatia. Beat the UAE 2-1 in a key match. And this is actually the first time they've qualified through the, you know, the normal process on the pitch, not just as hosts.
Right, that's significant for them. But Group B, that's where the real nail-biting stuff happens.
Oh, absolutely. Saudi Arabia went into the final day just needing a draw against Iraq at home in Jeddah. Sounds simple enough.
But it never is, is it? Especially with World Cup qualification on the line?
Never. The game finished 0-0, which was enough for Saudi Arabia. They went through on goal difference. But the scoreline doesn't tell the story.
Okay, tell us. What happened?
It all came down to the 94th minute. Deep, deep into injury time. Iraq gets a free kick.
Heart and mouth moment.
Completely. Hassan Abdulkarim hits it. Powerful, curling. Looked destined for the top corner. Goal written all over it. Saudi keeper, Nawak Al-Akidi, pulls off an absolutely stunning save. Diving, full stretch, tips it wide. The whistle blows moments later. Game over. Saudi Arabia qualify.
Wow. Just imagine the pressure and an entire nation's World Cup hopes riding on that one save.
Incredible drama. It really shows how tight things are getting in Asia. The margins are so fine.
So who joins Qatar and Saudi Arabia from the AFC? Who are the confirmed 8?
You've got the regulars, Australia, Iran, Japan, South Korea. And then alongside Qatar and Saudi Arabia, we have 2 massive stories. First-time qualifications for both Uzbekistan and Jordan.
Uzbekistan and Jordan, that is fantastic news.
It really is. It signals a bit of a shift, doesn't it? Central and Western Asian football really stepping up.
Does it suggest the traditional powers like Japan and South Korea are maybe not as dominant as they once were? Or is it just the expansion effect?
It's probably a bit of both. Those nations, Uzbekistan and Jordan, they've invested, they've built steadily. The expanded slots gave them that final push, that tangible reward. It definitely shows the gap is closing. The established powers are still strong, but they're being seriously challenged now.
Makes the AFC even more interesting. And just like in Africa, there's a final chance for the runners-up.
Exactly. The 2 group runners-up, UAE and Iraq.
Yeah.
The team that almost broke Saudi hearts, they face off. It's a 2-legged playoff in November.
Home and away.
Yep. Aggregate winner takes Asia's spot in that final Inter-Confederation playoff bracket. Okay, so from that intensity, let's head over to Europe, UEFA. It felt quite different there in October, didn't it?
Yeah, much calmer. Almost anticlimactic compared to Africa and Asia. It felt like Europe was more about setting the table for November's drama rather than finishing the meal.
That's a good way to put it.
Hmm.
October wasn't really about final decisions for most groups there. It was about positioning for those final decisive match days next month.
So did anyone actually qualify from Europe in October?
Just one team. England.
Mm.
Under Thomas Tuchel, they've just been well, ruthless. Completely efficient.
How did they seal it?
A straightforward 5-0 win over Latvia did the trick. Clinched qualification with games to spare.
And their record overall is pretty imposing, isn't it?
Astounding, really. Perfect record so far. 6 wins from 6. They've scored 18 goals and haven't conceded a single one.
0 goals against. Wow. Okay, so England's booked their ticket. But for everyone else, November is going to be massive.
Absolutely massive. The tension is just ratcheting up across the continent. Look at some of these groups.
Or they're really tight races.
Okay, Group C is a classic two-horse race. Denmark and Scotland, both locked on 10 points. It's guaranteed to go down to their final match against each other. Winner takes the automatic spot.
Proper showdown. What else?
Group H is almost identical in terms of pressure. Austria and Bosnia and Herzegovina tied on 15 points each. Their head-to-head clash in November is basically a final win and you're in.
Any groups with more teams involved?
Oh, yeah. Group F is just chaotic. Portugal had a chance to clinch their spot, maybe relax a bit.
What happened?
They slipped up, drew 2-2 with Hungary, which was a surprise.
Mm-hmm.
And that result has thrown the race for second place, the playoff spot, wide open.
Who's in that fight?
It's a three-way scrap now between Hungary, Ireland, and Armenia. All of them are stuck on 4 points. Anyone could grab that playoff spot.
Intense. And one more to watch.
Group I. Norway looks pretty comfortable for the automatic spot, likely to win the group. But the battle for second for that playoff place is fierce. Italy and Israel are tied on 12 points.
Italy and Israel tied. That's big.
It is. And Italy has a game in hand, which could be crucial. But yeah, November in Europe, it's going to be edge of your seat stuff everywhere. Real pressure cooker, as you said.
Okay, quick check-in with North America, CONCACAF. Things are still ongoing there, right? No qualifiers yet apart from the hosts.
That's right. Their third round is about 2/3 done. Still playing matches in November. Remember, the three group winners go straight to the World Cup.
And the runners-up.
The two best runners-up across the three groups get places in the Inter-Confederation playoffs. So second place is still a huge prize.
Who's looking good for direct qualification?
Well, Jamaica are doing really well in Group B. Looking very strong, they probably only need about 4 points from their last two games to guarantee it. Honduras is leading Group C.
And that race for the playoff spots.
That's where it's really tight. Curaçao, Costa Rica, Haiti. They're all right in the mix, battling hard for those two runner-up places that lead to the March playoffs. Still a lot to play for in CONCACAF.
Got it. And just to remind everyone, we already know who's heading to those Inter-Confederation playoffs from South America and Oceania.
Yep, already decided. Bolivia from CONMEBOL and New Caledonia from the OFC. They booked their spots earlier and are just waiting to see who joins them in that final tournament. Which brings us nicely to that final stage, doesn't it? The Inter-Confederation playoffs. This is the last chance saloon for 6 teams next March. The final 2 spots for the World Cup are decided here.
6 teams, 2 spots. Sounds like a recipe for drama. How does it actually work? It's being held in Mexico, right?
That's right, hosted in Mexico. It's a 6-team mini tournament, but with a twist involving seeding.
Okay.
So you're the 6 teams, 2 from CONCACAF, those runners-up we mentioned, 1 from Asia, the UAE or Iraq, 1 from Africa, the winner of their November playoff, plus Bolivia from CONMEBOL and New Caledonia from OFC.
6 teams, 5 confederations represented.
Exactly. Now, the key part is the seeding. Based on FIFA rankings, the top 2 teams going into this tournament get a massive advantage. They get a bye.
A bye straight to the final game.
Straight to the finals, yeah. The other 4 lower-ranked teams have to play single-leg semifinals first. Win or go home.
Okay, so 2 teams get eliminated in those semis.
Right. The 2 winners of those semifinals then play against the 2 top-seeded teams who had the bye.
And those 2 games are the finals.
Correct. 2 finals. The winners of those 2 matches grab the very last 2 tickets to the 2026 World Cup.
It's a high-stakes setup. Definitely rewards consistency over the long qualifying campaign if you can get that seeding.
Absolutely. So looking ahead to November, we're waiting to see who fills those last few slots. Who wins the CCAF playoff? Who wins the AFC fifth-round playoff between UAE and Iraq? And which 2 teams emerge as the CONCACAF runners-up? Once we know that, the field for March 2026 is set.
The puzzle pieces are falling into place, but yeah, still some huge games left.
So looking back at this October window, it really did live up to the separation day tag. 28 teams now confirmed.
Yeah, huge progress. And some amazing stories came out of it. You had the sheer joy of Cape Verde making history, South Africa's dramatic return.
Contrasted with the almost unbearable tension for teams like Qatar and especially Saudi Arabia clinging on right at the end.
Absolutely. So what's the big picture now? The path to 2026 is much, much clearer. But all the immediate pressure, all the focus, it now shifts squarely onto the November international break.
That's where the final big decisions get made, isn't it? Europe sorting out most of its qualifiers, CONCACAF finding its winners, Africa and Asia finalizing their playoff contenders.
Precisely. November is going to be absolutely critical.
Which leads us to a final thought, maybe something for you, the listener, to chew on. We saw how the 48-team expansion was just fundamentally game-changing for a nation like Cape Verde. It wasn't just qualifying, it was securing a financial future for their football. A huge opportunity seized.
So, thinking ahead to those final spots decided in March, which teams are next? Could it be one of those tightly packed European runners-up who sneak through the playoffs? Or maybe one of the CONCACAF teams currently scrapping just for a playoff chance?
Who's going to be the next Cape Verde, essentially? The next team to grab that expanded opportunity and maybe ride it to something transformative.
Which region do you think might throw up the biggest surprise in that final inter-confederation playoff? Who will be the most unexpected qualifier turning their footballing world upside down?
It's fascinating to think about. We don't have long to wait now. We'll find out soon enough.
That wraps up another weekly deep dive on the Black Mambas of soccer or football. Thank you for tuning in for our analysis of the global game. From the tactical battles in the Champions League and the biggest moves in the transfer market, to the brilliance of players like Mbappe, Haaland, and Kane. We'll be back next week to break down all the major developments and talking points from the world of football. Before you go, if you are serious about transforming your or your child's game, you need the right tools. We highly recommend checking out ShowUp and PlaySports.com. This platform is a game changer, designed for players, parents, and coaches to track training, set performance goals, and drive measurable improvement. It's the accountability and development tool that every ambitious player needs to get to the next level. Find the link and all of today's show notes on our website. Be sure to subscribe and leave a 5-star rating wherever you get your podcasts. It's the best way to support the show. Until next time, keep your eyes on the ball, and we'll talk football soon.